olo e whaafafonga ili SBS Samoan. Sa ili nisi mautala ili sbs.com.au/Samoan.
Talofa, tofa Amanda Moore's my lei.
Talofa, talofa, lava. Thank you for inviting me to Talanoa.
Tell us something about yourself. You're an education strategist at the University of Technology, Sydney. But, a bit more personal stuff.
Absolutely. Okay, so my name is Tofa Amanda Moore's my lei. I'm the daughter of Nasa Tofa Fainulele Felice Moores and the late Jacinta Roach Moores. I'm from the villages of Lepea, Safituala, Whanga, Saifipi, and Whangamalo in Samoa. And often when I'm introducing myself in very, in the university spaces, I talk of migration and kind of to sum it up, I often say I'm, born off Samoa. I'm Aotearoa New Zealand through migration. I am Fiji and Tongan by love, and I am Australian for now by choice and by purpose.
Wow, what an international citizen.
That's all of us though, right? We all have these, Pacifica people have got such great, connections across the Moana.
Well, maybe not all of us are as exotic as what you've just described. Anyway, the Pacifica Educators Network. Tell us something about that. What is it?
Yeah, so the Australian Pacifica Educators Network started as an idea. It was an idea that kind of, we were tossing about between myself and my very close colleague, Bronwyn Williams, who works at Western Sydney University and manages the Pacifica Achievement to Higher Education program at Western Sydney University. It was an idea that aimed at understanding how we can collectively look to empower Pacifica educators and learners and, communities to thrive in Australian society from an education lens. We are a volunteer-led organization. It's composed of, the network itself is composed of educators, teachers, academics in higher education, and advocates who are dedicated to improving the educational experiences and strengthening outcomes for Pacific people, Pacific learners in schools. And so we came together, we, put our thinking caps on and we came together and we thought, what better way to do this but to bring people together by way of a conference. So it was in 2021, we held the inaugural Pacifica Educators Conference here in Australia. It was the first of its kind. We had intended to have it on campus at Western Sydney Uni, but of course, as you know, 2021, we were still, in the quite deeply still entrenched in COVID. So so we flipped and did it online. And we were able to bring together over 180 educators from right across Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Island countries, which was, even a surprise to us, where we started to, talk about our experiences as educators, talk about the experiences of our young people in schools. And it was drawing on the insights and the strategies that were shared during that conference that then formulated and we established the, the official Australian Pacifica Educators Network, so what we know today. The conference really highlighted a pressing need to collectivize our strengths. We could see that there were many people right across Australia who were doing some amazing things to uplift our young people, uplift our communities. But we needed to come together to what we call a paradigm shift that's, holistic. So bringing not just educators together, but people from all different sectors, because we needed something that was innovative. We needed something that spoke directly to Albafica people in schools, whether you're an educator or a student.
If you were to choose, say, the two top priorities or objectives of Pacifica Educators Network, what would those be?
Empowerment of Pacifica educators is probably quite high on our list of agenda. So that's looking at, you know, building capacity, enhancing capabilities of our current educators to be able to, you know, continue to do the amazing work that they do, but empower them to influence, you know, within their own spheres of education. So that professional development for Pacifica educators is really, really critical. But we also know that it's a small number of Pacifica educators in Australia. Mm. So it's empowering non-Pacifica educators. So it's teaching them how to teach our children. That's really high on our agenda right now. So what feeds into that is culturally responsive practice and pedagogy. The other kind of, I guess, strategic priority for us is research and data utilization. So conducting and disseminating research that highlights the educational experiences, the needs, the challenges of our people, because our advocacy has to be driven by evidence.
Hmm. Tell me about the University of Technology's Pacifica Mentoring Program. How does that work?
Yeah, so we've actually shifted. So the mentoring program was established in, I think about 2-3 years ago now. UTS was probably one of the Sydney institutions that came quite late to the game in terms of targeting specific services or programs for Pacifica communities. So the mentoring program was very much about us recruiting current university students from Pacifica backgrounds and training them and supporting them to go into schools to talk to and mentor young Pacifica high school students in recognizing and strengthening their cultural identity, as well as and doing that alongside strengthening their academic identity. So I think that was one of the key drivers for me, was that it can't just be about who you are as a young Pacifica person, strengthening who you are as a Samoan living in Australia. It has to be about doing that alongside your studies. You know, how can you draw on those really key things as a Samoan or a Tongan or a Fijian? What makes you unique? How can you draw on those things to improve your academic stuff, to align your, you know, your academic goals? So that's what our mentoring program was about. And that we did that. We worked with three high schools in Western Sydney. The strength of that program was going in every week. So it was a weekly program for about 30 weeks across the year. And I can, you know, I can say, like, we have the data to show that those students who engaged in that mentoring program, there was a shift in their confidence in that they, you know, set these goals for themselves. At the end of that program, we could see that the shift then became, you know, working harder on those goals so that they can get to university. And in the last 3 years, I was definitely seeing a shift in the number of Pacifica students who are choosing UTS, who are wanting to come to UTS to do their undergrad studies.
Now, so, for some young people, in especially in the lower socioeconomic suburbs of Sydney, a university education is a world away. You know, because no one else in the family has attempted or graduated from a university. But in some other Pacifica families, well, both mom and dad are graduates, you know, university graduates, and the kids grow up and they know that a university education for them is just a natural progression of following secondary schooling.
Yeah.
How do you start? How do you start to nurture ambition, a dream, in some of these students who probably think that, oh well, a university education is just a world away from me, and maybe the those mentors of yours going into those schools, probably they will look at them and think, well, I could be that. What's stopping me from actually doing that?
Well, that's exactly it. That's like you've hit the nail on the head right there, because visibility and representation is really, really important. You know, our young people have to be able to see themselves represented, you know, in these big institutions as university students, as university academics, and then the next step is as professionals. So, you know, we're going into schools, and UTS is not, you know, the only one that does this. UNSW does this well. Western Sydney does this well. Griffith University does this really well, where we are recruiting university students who are already here, who already come through the door, to go back to community and tell their community about their experiences. And that plays a really big, you know, a big role in that, because, as you've said, they need to be able to see themselves represented as university students. And that's the biggest, you know, that is probably the biggest challenge, is for them to see themselves represented, both as an individual, but also as a family. The family needs to be able to see themselves represented in these big Western.
Well, I was just going to say that. It's, you know, as the saying goes, you know, it always seems impossible until it's done.
Yeah.
But to get it done requires the support of parents, the support of the community, because it's one thing to have ambition, but, you know, the fees are not cheap.
Yep. No, absolutely. This is the challenge for a lot of our families, is that we're navigating, you know, living in these complex challenges as Pacific people living in, you know, Western Sydney, or Sydney for that matter, having to navigate, you know, supporting our families here as well as our families back home, and, you know, and all other obligations. So, yeah, university is definitely not cheap. And I, you know, take my hat off to families who see education as an investment in their future. And I think that's, you know, something that we're challenged by, but are also trying to navigate in a really respectful way as well with our communities, is that while we understand that there is absolutely a need for our young people to finish high school and go and get a job, if you wait a couple more years, 3 more years, their earning potential increases exponentially, you know, to help you with all of those and all of those things that, you know, our obligations.
Oh, please, Tofa, don't talk about the falavilave. I mean, you also have to actually look at it as, you know, education for its own sake, you know, not as a tool for the economy, or a tool for, you know, for a cash cow, so that the family can call upon to contribute to falavelave.
Oh yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, it is about economic empowerment,
of course.
It's about being a productive citizen of the society that, you know, that you live in. But I think the reality is, for many of our Pasifika families, is that the financial imperative to work immediately and earn and contribute to the family, you know, the family finances is large. It's huge. It's
of course.
A huge, you know, reason. And so we have to actually be talking about the earning potential of a young person who, you know, the difference in the earning potential of a young person who goes straight from university into, you know, a lower paying job that is, you know, potentially doesn't need any qualification, to becoming a civil engineer, for example, in, you know, 3 to 5 years. So those are, you know, challenges and complexities that we're always going to be, you know, having conversations about. But it's been really important for many of us Pasifika who work in these big institutions is to continue to have that Tāna North, continue to have that dialogue with our communities, and bringing in, but also, you know, the other end of that is actually bringing in our professionals, our people who have gone through the university system, who are living here, who went to high school here, have gone to university, who are now successful in their own rights, in their own industry. That voice is also really, really critical to our communities and to our young people. They need to see themselves not only represented as university students and university staff and academics, but also as scientists and journalists and, you know, doctors and architects. They need to be able to see themselves represented in those roles for them to be able to make informed decisions about how it could impact their own, you know, ecosystem.
I know it's I guess that's always been the challenge in education for migrants. You know, we've all made the migration so that the children would be, you know, growing up in a better environment and than ourselves. But unfortunately, there are some who are stuck in the lower rung of you know, of of the ladder, and you know, you keep saying, well, education is your ticket out of that lower rung. You've got to make a to make the sacrifice. Well, I guess for some of us, I'm talking about yourself and me, we made that sacrifice and we've seen it bear fruit, you know. But, but there are still, you know, unfortunately, some of the Ainga who are doing it tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, the choices that we all make. But I think as far as educators and as far as, you know, my role within the University of Technology Sydney, and I can, you know, while I'm not going to speak for my colleagues in other institutions, but I know where their heart is. They have, you know, hearts of service to our communities. That we see that as our role is to continue to have these discussions, to continue to bring community onto campus and have them see the, you know, the value and the benefits of, and actually how transformative, you know, education can be for, you know, their young people and their families. But, you know, of course, university is not for everyone. And it's unrealistic to think that everyone, you know, is wants to go to university. You know, our role, we see our role as well as actually just, you know, having these, continuing to have these conversations and helping people to see what choices they have post-school. You know, that there are several other opportunities that you can, you know, that you can take. If university is not something that you're interested in. Like, interestingly, the research that we did last year showed that our Pacific people in Australia have a very high completion rates of high school compared to the general population. Mm-hmm. But we also have very high certificate level qualifications. What we struggle with is actually university study. So when it comes to university admissions or completions, our numbers are significantly low compared to the general population. But we're finishing high school and we're doing certificate level qualifications, you know, more than anyone else. So we are a people who want to do, you know, we want to do better. We know that university, the barriers to university are huge. Financial, location for one, financial, access to HECS, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And those are things that, you know, the Australian Pacifica Educators Network and us individually within our institutions are, you know, continuing to advocate for and, you know, have discussions about and push this agenda in front of the people we know hold the power. So, so we're, you know, that's kind of where our work for the network as well as individually within institutions kind of lead us to.
Tofa Amanda Moores-Miley, thank you very much for taking time out this afternoon to talk to me.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Toi fia whaafafonga I nisi tala whaapea? Whaafafonga I le Apple Podcast, le Google Podcast, Spotify, ma po whea lawa I mawailau podcast.